reception at my own church. Oh, that's old Ken. Oh, my. Well, it's good to see you. I thank the Lord that Chris calls me on occasion and invites me to be here. You know, it kind of reminds me of a husband that passed away, and everybody was sorrowful. He was a fine fellow in the church and worked, greatly missed, and all of that. And as they were leaving out of the church, and they were turning the casket, a sharp turn to the right, it hit a wall, and the lid popped open, and he popped up, and he was all right. He was all right. And went home with his wife and had a nice reunion, what have you. Lived 5 more years. Died again. And as they were going out to that little sharp turn, his wife said, "Watch that wall." Shows you how much she missed him. But it's good to see you. It's good to be with you. And I take to heart the prayer for your grandfather. I do, because you don't hear that often, of young people remembering their grandparents. And I'll do the same, trust me. And this one with the cancer, who was that, Bob? I got him covered. How old is he? He's not saved? Is he? Okay, very good. There's a lesson there for him, isn't it? There's a lesson for him. Because not too many people come back from where he was at. So I know from experience, you know, mine is 25 years now. And I remember the doctor telling me that if you were my son, I'd give you the same advice. And I think he's been gone a long time, the doctor. I was trusting another doctor that never lost a case. So I thank the Lord for that. You know, I wrote a book on cancer. I wouldn't write that book, nor would I give it to anyone, because I found out since then that every case is different, because every person is different, and that each of us have to go to the great physician because he knows our case. Well, I'd like to talk to you about a very serious subject matter since it's Memorial Day, and give you exactly the reason why we're in the mess we're in as a nation. Exactly the reason why we're in the mess we're in. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I remember when they took prayer out of school in 1962. And there was no outcry, basically, from the church. There's still not one, as it should be. A few of us are speaking out, but not enough. Everybody's telling me concerning the broadcast, and we're now on LQV. On Sundays at 10 and I think 8 o'clock in the morning. And then naturally WMUZ. And so everyone is telling me, you know, get them, Ken, get them, Ken. I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I think this is where we're at. We want John to do it. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, our issue is this: remembrance. Failing to remember how we got here. Chiefly those that were responsible for us being here, namely the founders. We're not repeating that story enough. Naturally, we're not repeating it in school. Politically, our nation has forgotten that upon the Pilgrim's arrival off the coast of Virginia, a pastor by the name of Robert Hunt led the Jamestown settlers in 3 days of prayer and repentance to prepare their hearts for dedicating the land to the God of their fathers. When they finally disembarked on April 29, 1607, their first act was to erect a 7-foot oak cross they had brought from England. They then gathered around the cross for a prayer service in which they dedicated the land, their new land, to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, and one of the chief reasons why Satan hates this book is because the Lord quoted from it more than any other. And when he was in the wilderness faced with the devil and among wild beasts, interesting, isn't it, how he could get along with the wild beasts, but the two-legged beasts, that's another issue, isn't it? But they knew him. The ox knows his master, the ass his master's crib, but my people do not know me. And he said, anything the Lord would have said to the devil would have been scripture, because he is the Word of God. He's the Word made flesh. And before the Word was penned down here, it was already settled up there. Thy Word is settled in heaven. So before it was penned down to parchments, it was already settled. But he said three times, it is written. It's already recorded. Now, anything he would have said would have been the Word of God, but if he's so dependent upon the Word of God, how much more should you? How much more should I? All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, and ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Now, think about this. 40 years, basically, they went round and around and around and around. A 40-year journey that should have taken 11 days. 40 years. That shows you how long-suffering and patient the Lord is with you, with me, with us. Because all of us have issues. I remember, my wife remembers so well, this little lady, she's a lady now, she's in her mid-20s, but I dedicated her. And I can remember when she was about 3 years old, and I said, Naomi, what's wrong with you? She said, I have issues. 3 years old with issues. I've got issues. I started saying, I got issues too. She turned out to be a real darling, though. Real darling. But our young people need to be reminded over and over and over again, because you've got to hand this stuff off to the next generation. And you should try and remember to hand it off intact as it was given to you. I said this to the overseers at Detroit Bible College when they were getting ready to move. I said, fine, I'd like to see you stay, make a statement like Dallas, like Philadelphia School of the Bible, and some others, Moody. But if the Lord is leading, so be it. However, I do have an issue with you changing the name. If you're going to make it William Tyndale College, fine. But few people know that William Tyndale was the father of the English Bible. When you pass in Farmington Hills, when you pass 12 Mile and Drake, you see William Tyndale, the name, William Tyndale College. You just merely think that it's just a secular school. I say, why not make it William Tyndale Bible College? Oh, no. Well, the fix was in then. I didn't know it. You see, the model of the school from its inception in 1945 was the Word of God, nothing more, nothing less. But something else had seeped in, so much so that when you pass 12 Mile and Drake now, it's a Muslim training school. And by the way, they're buying up a lot of churches because a lot of churches have compromised, sold out for the money. Highest bidder. And the Muslims, they have deep pockets. And they've put in a bid for ours too. I said, not while I'm here. It's not going to happen. Period. I don't care if they have 10 million, they couldn't get it. And what is that old saying? If you don't stand for something, you will fall for just about anything. But we're at war, and our children need to know and understand and appreciate and have some real convictions about who they are and whose they are. The three WWs. When I went to hear Malcolm X in the early 60s out of curiosity, because he was a spellbinder of a preacher. And he took his text from Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, now you black folks should never quote that because you've been wanting all of your lives. Never had freedom. Never were respected as men or women. And he didn't understand what he was reading. Most of the Psalms are for us but not to us. Or to us, but not for us. It depends. Like Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's personal. And Psalm 23 is personal. That's David's testimony, being a shepherd. He had come to know the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. That's his testimony. You can shoehorn in on it. Fine. But make sure that he's your shepherd, because my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So I know Malcolm didn't know what he was talking about, but so be it. When he came to understand who Elijah Muhammad, his mentor, his spiritual religious father, what he was all about, that he had fathered children by teenage girls in his office, and he stated, this wasn't at Olympia. He was the prelude speaker to Elijah Muhammad at this time. This would take place 10 years later. But when he came out of that darkness, it's too bad he didn't embrace the true light, because he was confronted with it. A friend of mine debated him on television in Philadelphia, Dr. William L. Banks, and he was one that could hold his weight with Malcolm, being about the same age. And he said when he heard that he was murdered, he cried, because he reflected back on the time that he was debating with him about who the Lord was. But David was saying, you've heard, when you go online, www. Well, these are the three W's that David was concerned with and come to terms with. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want to know who I am, because I know whose I am. And until you know, you don't know who you are until you know whose you are. And David came to understand who I am, because I know him. And David came to understand why I am, why I'm here, because he came to understand and appreciate the fact that Christ died for him. And then he came to understand where I'm going. And those are the three W's of life. That you, if you're here today and you're without the Lord, you don't know who you are. You don't know why you're here. And you don't certainly know where you're going. But it's a wonderful thing to know whose you are. It's a wonderful thing to know why you are. It's a wonderful thing to know where you're going, where you'll spend eternity. because you're going to spend it somewhere. And you're going to meet him too. You don't have any choice in that matter. Malcolm knows better now, doesn't he? When I think back of him speaking, spellbinder of a speaker, no question about it. But I think in terms of, there's no doubt in his mind who the Lord is now, is it? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's a good shepherd because he's God. He's the chief shepherd because he is the chief cornerstone of this assembly. And he's a great shepherd because he provides a great salvation. And so I trust that you know that. I trust that you know him. Whom to know is life eternal. And this foundation here in Deuteronomy 8 is a prerequisite to all of this in really remembering who you are, why you are, where you're going. Never forget that. Verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or no, and humble thee and suffer thee to hunger and to feed thee with manna which thou knewest not. Imagine that. 40 years. No grocery bill. 40 years. No medical bills. Imagine that. Listen to this. A 40-year journey that should have taken 11 days. And then they were fed manna that rained from above. Catch this. That thou shalt know man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment, thy clothes, wax not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. That's impossible, except God would make it so. How many of you are wearing shoes that you've been wearing for the last 10 years? 20? 30? You're not old enough. But 40 years? Same shoes? Do us a favor, next Sunday, don't come here. We don't want to smell them shoes. 40 years. You know, they have what they call the Berry disease. And that is, their foot didn't even swell. Didn't swell or smell. And the Berry disease meant they didn't, when your foot swelled, it indicates that you're lacking something in your diet. There's something you're lacking. But just imagine, just one food, which indicates that the Word of God is sufficient for all of your needs, period. That's what it speaks of. But they didn't get that, and they're still not getting it, because only 5% of Israelis in Jerusalem are believers. No question about it. And so that's not the coming return to Israel. I think it's a partial, it's a glimpse of what's coming. But it's not a total fulfillment. No question about it. It's not. But it will be. Because God will keep his word. And that's why it's the only nation, God said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper. And you tell me what you think of Christ, and I'll tell you where you'll spend eternity. But you tell me what you think of the Jew, and I'll tell you something about your theology. Because the two go together. And always remember, he's still, the Lord Jesus is still King of the Jews. And it's always to the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles. Your raiment didn't wax old. Your foot didn't swell. Oh, I passed that up, didn't I? Tell me something. Who was here last Sunday with the same clothes? You getting ready to raise your hand? I was getting ready to say it. No, 40 years. No clothing bill, no food bill, no medical bill. And they didn't get it. And God has rained upon our nation, and we haven't gotten it either. The reason why I know that God is gracious is because he has tolerated this nation so long. The reason why, know he is gracious. And I'm glad that, by the way, he's never, I hear Christians say that if he doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't say that. God has to apologize to no one for anything, period. He does everything in his time, and he makes everything beautiful in his time, whether you and I understand it or not. But one thing is clear. We know we're right at the door of something happening. Either this nation is going under, and by the way, I don't know how you feel politically, but I said to my wife in November 2016, if Hillary is elected, I've been flying the flag for over 30 years, I'm bringing it down. And I meant that. If Hillary, I don't know if you have a flag or not, but I fly the flag. I say, but if that woman gets in, it's over for this nation. And I know that Trump, President Trump, he gets a lot. Sometimes I'd like to take him in a room and, you know, man, shut up. You don't have to answer word for word every time somebody says something. You're making us all look bad. I say, you got a good man in Vice President Pence. Listen to him. Shut up. But who am I? But nevertheless, he's God's man for this time. Because the state, the deep state, was deeper than anyone thought, period. And the way this country was left for the last 8 years, we needed somebody like him. And thank God for my trust that you're praying for him. Well, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God. Oh, I wanted to get back to that. See, you guys throwing me off. Be quiet. It's only in Luke 17 that the Lord puts these two together. Only once. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man when he returns. Now, what one word highlighted the days of Noah? One word, violence, worldwide. And we're there again for the first time. We have the capability of wiping each other out, period. Never happened before. We're there at the door. The Lord said, as it was. How many people were alive then? 7 billion. You say, 7 billion? Seriously? Yes, 7 billion. Methuselah lived how many years? 969. The average age of life was 700 years. So if you would have those same statistics back here today, same life, same amount of years of average lifestyle, it would be the same thing. Same thing. You'd forgotten how long people lived then. And it didn't take long for the population to increase. Then when you think in terms that we have 7 billion now, and then when you think in terms that the Lord said, as it was. Whew. Then he came behind that and said, as it was in the days of Lot. Now what highlighted the days of Lot? One word, sodomy. The days of Noah, they were building, they were planning, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, right up until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came, took them all away. Then he said something different, but he left one thing out. As it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they built, they bought, they sold, right up until fire from heaven rained down and destroyed them all. So shall it be when the Son of Man, he left out marriage. Because marriage, it doesn't matter anymore. Even if you sit down to watch a decent television program, a decent one, the commercials will get you. They got two men hugged up, two women hugged up or in the bed. I say, my goodness, you can't even watch TV anymore. What's missing? Marriage. What's debated today? Well, I remember when I was on the police department in Detroit, when it was a decent police department, and I say that because you knew who your partner was. Your partner was male. Today you don't know and you don't ask. We would arrest people dressed in female attire. And the ticket would read, if we write them a ticket, dressed in female attire, or a female impersonator. Well, that female impersonator might be your partner now. It might be a lesbian. It might be a bisexual. It might be a transsexual. It might be a transvestite. It might be 50 other combinations. Shut your mouth. None of your business. And you don't call me a male unless I give you permission to do so. This is where we've come. And we need to instruct our children about this. They're shooting live rounds, and we have slingshots. We need to, like Ravi Zachariah, he's supposed to come to be with us. But that man's a great apologist. And we need to give an answer, a reason for the hope that's within us. Not be ashamed. What are you ashamed of? We're on the winning side, period. Or we're on the side that's already won. But these two things are together today. Worldwide violence, worldwide immorality. And it's considered to be normal, sadly, by the entire Democratic Party. Time you can have women, one from Detroit and then Cortez from New York, that has the Speaker of the House in hostage. That's right. They just got there in Congress, and they're running the entire party. That's why I say again, I'm thankful that we have the president that we have. Not that he is perfect from a long shot. In fact, he was one of my, I'm like Dennis Prager, he was one of my last choices to vote for. Mercy. But I thank God that he's there. Thank God that he's there. But here's where I'm going with all of this. What time do I have to stop? Got 5 minutes? How much time do I have? Huh? Take 10? I'll stop now and make you wish you hadn't said that. No, just teasing. I was born teasing. I was in a grocery store once. See, I'm fooling around here. I was in a grocery store. I was just a little kid and been a signifier all my life. And I was messing with something I had no business. And an older man knew my mother. And he said, that boy needs chastising. I thought to myself, and I don't know what that word means, but I don't think it means me any good. When I got home, I found out what it meant. That was the first big word I ever learned. That boy needs chastising. Oh, mercy. Now, today, if you hit a kid, you may have to answer the court. You can't even chastise your children. And now in California, of course, as you know, they're in schools, they're indoctrinating. You see, schools used to be for education. Now it's for indoctrination. It's like the news. You know, I'm reminded of Pravda, the Russian paper. It means truth, but it's not the truth. It's an organ of lies, backed up with bodyguards of lies, and it's co-equal as the New York Times. And here's the dilemma. The New York Times model all the news fit to print, but it's not true. Jewish owned, and here's another dilemma too. The greatest Jew haters are Jews themselves. And I never cease to go off the air, hardly, without asking you to pray for the Jewish people. And we support them where we can, Jewish evangelists and organizations. But I have you to understand, he came to his own, and his own received him not, and they still despise him. And here's the newspaper doing World War II, owned by the Jews, started by the Jews, still owned it and operated by the Jews. And you just can't get to the other side of George Soros. Now, you're talking about a perfect Jew hater, de Blasio, New York, perfect Jew hater, Sanders, perfect Jew hater. Woo, mercy. Then you can better understand what Paul meant by the mystery of iniquity doth already work. How in the world during the Vietnam War can you have a Buddhist monk who is in a sitting position? I mean, he doesn't even flinch. And he goes up in flames. And when he falls over, it's only because he's been consumed by the fire, not because he is hurting. He is so full of demons. He is so psyched out. He didn't feel any pain. Then you know the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Doth already work. And during the war in the European theater, the New York Times, all the news fit to print, 25,000 articles on World War II. How many articles on Auschwitz, Treblinka, Mauthausen? 6. 6. And they were on the back page. Jewish newspaper. Came unto his own, and his own received him not. And nothing has changed. They hate him without a cause. But one day their eyes will be opened, and a nation will be born in a day. God has not forsaken his people whom he did foreknow. I want to Harvard University, its original motto was truth for Christ and his church. That's how it started, 1636. That's what it was raised up for. It was the flagship school of higher education. John Harvard, a Christian, was named after him. And it was for the purpose, truth for Christ and his church. Today is just truth, as we see truth. That's what it has come down to. One of the first universities of higher learning to have an ordained sodomite minister head of its chapel, and still does. Still does. 7 churches in Asia Minor, where the last letters that went out from Ephesus to Smyrna to Sardis, right through Laodicea. Laodicea means the people's church. We decide what goes on here. And that's why the Lord isn't inside the church today, basically, fundamentally. He's not. He's always had a remnant, like here and other places. But he's on the outside, knocking to gain entrance in his church. And that's why in Turkey today, it's Muslim. My roots go back to Ethiopia. And the longest reigning Coptic church that's still in business today is in Ethiopia. As a result of that Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, coming to Jerusalem, not hearing the truth, leaving to go back, God commissioning Philip to go out to a desert. And he ran out there. And there was a man, one man, but God wasn't trying to reach a man. He was reaching a continent. And he did his job well. But let me, as I indicated, here's another thing. You see this here? You know who this is? That's your attorney general. And she's proud to let you know that she lives with a lady, another woman, a lesbian. Lesbian attorney general have just ended Christian adoption services in Michigan. My wife will tell you, we just had an adoption agency to come to us a few months ago, and we were going to make them part of our missionaries' support. Not now. Not now. Lesbian Attorney General, and the name of that service that we were going to support is called Bethany Christian Services. And had I been president or on the board, I would have either resigned or I would have tried to influence them to shut it down. But this lady that came up at Grace Bible Chapel, they succumbed to this. Bethany Christian Services will place children in LGBT homes. And we were just on the verge of starting support for them. Can't do it. Young people, whatever school you're in, sometimes you may have to stand alone. Stand alone. Because you're not alone. The Lord is standing with you. We have a young lady that went away. Was that Central Michigan? Central, I think. And I've been praying for her because I held her in my arms. In fact, even more than that, she weighed a pound. They didn't think she would live. I went down to Ford Hospital. I laid my hands on the incubator. And I said, Lord, you have a special place for this lady in this life. Please, Lord, give her a chance to live. She is so beautiful. You should see her today. She came up to me. She was home the other week. And she came up to me and she said, you know, I'm asking the Lord to get me out. She just started Central this past year. She said, I'm asking the Lord to move me from the dorm I'm in. I said, why? She said, I can't begin to tell you what goes on in that dorm. I said, well, thank God you're able to discern it. You're able to discern it. I said, I pray for you every day. Prayers are being answered. Thank God for you. Our labor here hasn't been in vain. But let me tell you the reason why that Madeline Mary O'Hara, you remember her, that Sunday school teacher, the atheist. Guess what, fellas? She's not an atheist now, is she? She's not an atheist. And you know what who she sizes up with in the Bible? Perfectly. Jezebel. There wouldn't be a bone left of Jezebel with what she did, what she said, and mocking me. And there wasn't a bone left to bury concerning Madeline Mary O'Hara. She sized up perfectly to Jezebel in the Bible. Well, she got prayer out of school. But let me tell you what really happened. And you haven't heard this. I may put it on the air this weekend. But you're going to hear it now for the first time. On June 25th, 1962, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 6-1 that prayers in public schools are unconstitutional, and they disallowed it. Now, it was only, listen to this, I started school in 1945. I'm still 39. Jack Benny gave me the mantle, you know. Said, wear it well now. I'm trying. And I remember this prayer. Listen, 27 words. That's all. 27 words. But it was one word that they got hung up on. And this is why they disallowed prayer in public school. And you don't know this. You'll know it now. One word. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. One word is why they disallow prayer in public school. Revelation chapter 3. Now, let me give you the prayer. Children prayed this prayer. Almighty God, nothing sectarian here. We acknowledge our dependence upon thee. What's wrong with that? First of all, they're acknowledging with fear and reverence who is God. That's the reason why, when if you ever talk to a Jew and they'll ask you, do you know the commandments? You say, yes. Can I hear them? Most Christians don't. Can I hear them? And you say, yes, thou shalt have no other gods before me, no graven image, no bear false witness, remember the Sabbath, honor your parents, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Now, what do you want? He said, you don't know the commandments. I just gave them to you in order. He said, that's not the first commandment. You quoted only part of the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other God. He said, but why is that first commandment there? That's where you start. You start with the prelude, the introduction. I am the Lord, your God, that brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. He tells you why you should have no other gods before. Look what he's done for you. And you left that. I never left it out again. I never left it out again. Boy, did he ever teach me a lesson. I started to bend over. Go ahead. I am the Lord thy God. And this is what they were recognizing. Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee. What's wrong with that? Secondly, we all prayed and we begged thy blessings upon us. What's wrong with that? Our parents, what's wrong with that? Our teachers, what's wrong with that? And our country, amen. What's wrong with that? I tell you, everything was wrong with it. There was one word that they say, hey, we can't have this because we know it. And it came right out of Revelation. Listen, 3:14, and this church, no coincidence, this Laodicean church, the people's church, and the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things said the Amen. That's it right there. We know who that is. Do you know that's one of his names? When you say Amen, you're making an endorsement with his authority. When I was on the police department, I'd go to court, and I'd stand before the judge and the clerk, swear the officer in. They'd say, oh, raise your right hand. Do you swear? I just look at her. She'd look up and see I didn't have my hand raised. She'd say, officer, raise your right hand. I say, I will affirm that the testimony I'm about to give is the truth, the whole truth, so help me God. She looks up at the judge, and the judge say, he's right. I look at her, I smile. See, I'm still an old signifier. But that's right. The code reads, do you swear or affirm? But most people don't know the code, nor what the Lord says. Swear not at all. Yet your yeas be yea, your nays nay. But when you say amen, that's the end of it. And they got wind of that, and they said, hey, that's one of his names. It is a sectarian prayer. It is a Christian prayer. They're mentioning Jesus here. And that's the reason they got rid of it. And nobody stood up. And they're still not standing up, telling the truth about this thing. Now, if you Google this, guess what? The prayer ends omitting amen. Yeah. If you go into, isn't it interesting?
the Supreme Court. They open every session. They don't believe in prayer in schools. But they open every session with this prayer. God save the United States and this honorable court. They want prayer. They want God to save the court. But the little children? And going into the visitors' conference in Washington, they used to have above the heading, "In God We Trust." That's one of the first things Obama got rid of. And he called himself a Christian. If he's a Christian, I'm Bela Lugosi. Yeah! Father, we give thanks for yourself. We give thanks for your word. It's forever settled in heaven. Cause it to be forever settled in each of our hearts, that we'll live by it, die by it, but never compromise it. Thank you for the believers here at Calvary. Continue to smile upon their work, their efforts, and these prayers that have been uttered. We know that you'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Grant it so, that they might love you and serve you even the more. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, amen.